You know, it's been some real warfare. I'm sure many of you received the email that went out and thanking everybody for their prayer, their intercession. A lot of warfare been going up for the needs here in our midst, especially that's so imminent with the warfare that's going on with Jamie and Ann. And the thing I want to talk about a little bit tonight is to just encourage us not to become weary. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of hours spent. People praying at very early hours of the morning and around the clock. And it's been a good period of time now. And the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And some of us would like to think that, you know, we're not affected that way. But, you know, there are some very spiritual people that went before us that fell asleep at crucial times of prayer. And what I want to encourage us in this morning is the fact that God's got this, praise God. Amen. Now he's called us to pray and to do our part, and I think that's something that is vitally important. Matthew 26:41. You don't have to turn there to these few verses. You could if you want, but you know, this is the passage that the Lord had admonished the disciples to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Discipline yourself. Make sure that you're not giving access to weariness and to distractions. And we know that the thing that caused them to fall asleep was not just the hour. It was not just that they had had a busy day, but they begin to wear down because of a war that had been continuous as they saw the magnitude of the consequences before them. A depression began to set in. And this is something that many of us at this time are warring against. Because the scripture is very clear that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And as you're waiting for a long time for God to show himself and for the word of God to manifest, that weariness can affect us. Hope deferred, it does make the heart sick. It just begins to create in us a weariness. And the admonition of the master was, watch and pray. Amen. Be aware of these things. Prepare yourself for those feelings of melancholy, of those feelings of doubt, those feelings of fear that are going to try to come in and steal the word of God out of our hearts. You know, the scripture is Jesus taught the parable on the sower, and he talked about that ground that we have to realize that we've got to stand fast. There has to be a steadfastness, or the enemy will come in and immediately take that word from us. And so watch and pray and be ready and make sure that God is working his way in you. Luke 18 goes on and tells us this great admonition that men ought always to pray. And so what we're doing is a good thing. Amen. This prayer chain that we started, it's a good thing. And with Ann, along with Ann's situation that we're battling for her life, and she's months now beyond anything the doctor said she could endure. She's alive today solely because of the Spirit of God in her, praise God. And Satan would come and try to rail against the Lord and against his word. But beloved, we ought always to pray. Amen. Men ought always to pray and say it, not to faint. Praise God. And so even though we face that natural aspect of the soul and Hope deferred, making the heart sick. Don't faint. Whatever you do in these last hours, don't faint, praise God. As Satan comes to Jamie and Ann, as Satan would come to some of us and try to snatch that word out of our hearts, we need to stand up and with a greater fervency than ever, the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men avail much. Hallelujah. Amen. Righteous men, men with rights. We're to stand up, praise God, before cancer. We're to stand up before death and declare, we have rights in the name of Jesus. You will not have this life, praise God. The effectual, fervent praying. Don't let 15 minutes end your prayer. Let effectual fervency end your prayer, praise God, as it's manifested. And then you've prayed. And we realize then this warfare that we're in, and the admonition is pray always, don't faint, praise God. Whatever you do, don't let this thing wear you down and cause you to lose hold of the great eternal promises of God. We don't look at the things that are temporal. We look at the things that are not seen, praise God. For the things that are seen are temporary, and the things that are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Our faith is working in the spirit realm, in the eternal realm, and affecting things that we don't have any knowledge of, we have no awareness of, but God is warring on our behalf. Hallelujah. Don't faint. Always pray, and don't faint. Don't let those promises be snatched out of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing, hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. Throughout the day, just let that the spirit man praying through you and those mutterings that take place as we meditate upon the Word of God and the Spirit praying through us constantly, and we just continually mutter the promises of God. We're a people that are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. The effectual, fervent prayer is at work in our lives right now. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Praise God. Ask, seek, and knock. Hallelujah. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So what do? We keep on asking. Amen? We keep on seeking and we keep on knocking, praise God. We're at war. And more than anything, the war that's taking place here is not for the healing of these individuals in our midst. Whether it be E.G. or whether it be Ann or whether it be the different ones that we've named before us that we've been holding up. The war is for the glory of God.
Amen.
The war is about the glory of God and Him manifesting Himself to receive His praise. As we believe for Him to come and show Himself mighty, we declare our trust in Him and our hope in Him. And as we taught last Sunday, our thanksgiving, we're to pray always with all prayer. Hallelujah. And thanksgiving. Making God big. Let God arise and our enemies will be scattered, the scripture says. Watch and pray. Always pray. Pray without ceasing. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, the scripture says, in the spirit and watching thereto. That need to watch. There's more at stake here than the health of these individuals. Satan's trying to steal your faith. Satan's wanting to take away the divine hope that's in you. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Satan wants to distract you. Satan wants to change your theology. Satan wants to change your doctrine. Satan wants to make a Calvinist out of you. Oh, but beloved, the greater one that's come to dwell within us tonight has come to give us all power and all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Hallelujah. Where's your faith? He'll start tormenting you and saying, if he can do this to others in the congregation, you're next and your children's next. Though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come nigh me. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That doesn't say these others are weak in faith. It doesn't say that you're better than they are. It's saying that a righteous man is standing up and declaring what's rightfully his in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I don't care if 1,000 of us die. It doesn't change the promises of God. They're yea and amen, and they are sure to 1,000 generations.
Amen.
Faith calls things that are not as though they were. Faith hopes against hope. Hallelujah. There's a lot at stake. These people that we're praying for, our desire to see God manifest himself in our midst. Our heart cries no differently than that of Gideon when the angel appeared and said, "You're the man of God. Hail a mighty man of valor." He said, "Lord, if you've come against us, where is the working of the signs and the miracles that our fathers saw?" Amen. We're a generation that needs to stand and see the very promises of God. Oh, there's a lot at stake here in our midst. And so we see then that ministry that's to manifest itself among us. God promising us that before we even call, Isaiah 65 says, he will answer. Hallelujah. Father's not taken surprise what's going on here. He's not going to be 1 second late, praise God.
Amen.
And we see the promises of God and these great mercies that he desires to manifest unto us. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. We started the year by asking, what would we dare believe God for? Are we ready to believe God to be able to see the miracles, to see walking on water, to see the creative miracles of limbs being put back upon bodies? The restoring of sight to the blind? And as we stand and intercede for these in our midst, we pray for Josh. I want to admonish some of these too that we're praying for, like a young man such as this. This is not a time as we stand in the trenches and pray for your miracle. It's not time for you to be playing out and feeding your flesh. And I'm not speaking toward Josh. I'm speaking toward young men as the admonition comes to the scriptures. Because he's not the only one of our young people that's battling in these areas. And some of you are in worse shape than he is, some of our young people, because you're blind spiritually.
Amen.
And you think you're something that you're not. But I want you to know you should be thanking God, because there's a people here that have gone into the heavens to battle for your soul. Hallelujah. We're at war. And we're passing this on to another generation. And let me remind you that though in the natural it's the young men that go to war, I want to tell you something. In the spiritual realm, it's the old people that ought to be leading the charge. Hallelujah. It's the old people that shouldn't be at home and taking advantage of all of the things that a long life has provided them. That'll cause you to do is begin to look up and find a Bathsheba. You need to be on the battle fronts, praise God. And warring for the souls that God has put into this place. Our family. Always to pray and not to faint, the scripture says. And so we see these great promises and the Lord is coming to manifest His greatness in our midst. He said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, He said, I'll come and I'll heal your land. He's not talking about America. He's talking about Calvary Temple, praise God. He's talking about whatever your street address is. And He calls us to come and to pray and to seek Him early, the scripture says. Oh, what a need there is in our lives to step up in this moment and bring that discipline that's necessary that God can be exalted in our midst. The Lord wanting to show Himself mighty on our behalf. The scripture's clear as we peruse and look through constantly that God is always ready. God is always ready. God is ready and willing to do that work and to finish that work in us. To keep that we've committed to Him, the scripture says, against that day. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, Lord, come and show Yourself. But in the midst of this, don't become weary. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Don't become weary. Find that rest. Psalm 37 tells us in the 7th verse as the Lord is admonishing us. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself. Fret not thyself. Because of what the wicked one does, and we look around and the wicked are fat and happy and sassy, and it seems like we more than any, the believers, are experiencing adversity and trials. Don't count it a strange thing, these fiery trials that have come upon you. Of course Satan's going to attack the church and not his own. I'd like to admonish us this evening, fret not. You can't pray in faith when you're worrying. You can't pray in faith when you're wondering why possibly God has not shown up yet. Faith is now, praise God. Faith calls things that are not as though they were. I think this is one of those times when we look at that teaching that many of us don't want to think about at times, but it's at times like this that we need patience. Amen?
Amen.
Now patience we know manifests itself in a couple of different ways. Patience manifests itself in enduring, just standing. And we thank God for that work in us and the ability to stand in a steadfastness. But for patience to manifest itself, it has to do not only with a steadfastness or an endurance, but it has to do with that consistency. The change of circumstances, the change of emotions cannot change what's coming out of our hearts. It's under pressure that we know who we are. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen? Amen. Circumstances change. Are we able to, like we shared Sunday, are you able to stand up and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us? Can we take just a moment and step back as we heard the testimony Sunday night? To say, you know what, this affliction has been good for me. Amen? Amen? This affliction has been good for me. It's revealed my heart. I thank God. And so we then resolve to stand. We fight that weariness in this well-doing. Beloved, the scripture tells us very clearly in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, the husbandman tarries long, the scripture says. When we put in the seed of the promise of God, when we've spoken the word of God, if it doesn't miraculously manifest, if God in His sovereignty does not bring an instantaneous miracle, then beloved, this that the scripture speaks of and parables that Jesus taught, concerning the husbandman, he says he tarries long. He waits and he waits for the former and the latter rain, and then the harvest comes. That word is alive. In the spirit realm, it's alive in the body of these people. It's germinating. It's producing the will of God. But we have need of patience. We're such a generation that has just absolutely no endurance. Instant gratification. There's a lot more than healing of a body awaiting those of us who don't faint. There's the transformation of our own spirits as we battle, as we war, as we get our eyes off of everything that natural man is seeking and all the playtime and the games and the stuff. And one thing becomes important to us, a brother's soul, a brother's broken body. And we take hold of God and say, I will not turn you loose until you've blessed us. Praise God. Patience, the ability to stand and proclaim the greatness of God. Let patience, James says, have its way in you, that you might be made mature, perfect, entire, wanting nothing, he tells us in that fourth verse. What a maturation takes place in the intense trials that God allows us to enter into. Don't think it's strange. There's a refining process going on. In the midst, some have received the revelation, but guaranteed as they come through and walk out of this, they'll be able to step back and say, it was good for me. Hallelujah. It was good for me to have experienced the trials, the adversities that I've been in. No chastening, no reproving, no instruction, no trial is enjoyable in the moment. Amen? The scripture recognizes that. It speaks to our frailty and our humanism. I know this isn't easy. I know that in the midst of it, it's grievous, but it's working the peaceable fruit of righteousness in us. What a great privilege, what a great opportunity to receive these things. Psalm 119:71, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Hallelujah. What a privilege. What a great word that comes to us. I know, O Lord, verse 75, that your judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Do you believe that? Before I was afflicted, verse 67, I went astray. My heart would wander. I didn't have the spiritual pursuit that I have right now. Can I ask you in the economy of God, what's more important, that we're drawn closer to Him or that we have physically whole bodies? Don't faint. Learn what this war is all about. Don't look to the right hand or to the left, but in all of your way, acknowledge God and He'll direct your path through this thing. Oh, what a word to us. Does that make the pain go away? No. But it gives us the ability to hope against hope, praise God. Amen. Does it make the pain go away? No, but it gives the grace that in the midst of it, we can lift our hands up and say, though He slay me, I will worship Him. I will praise Him. I will give thanks unto His name. Hallelujah. Too earthly minded or too temporal minded. We don't believe the scripture that says rejoice at death and weep at birth. Many of you that have just brought forth children, and this is not to put any fear in your heart, but what the world we've just birthed them into, it's going to make Sodom and Gomorrah look like Leave It to Beaver. Iniquity abounding, the love of many waxing cold, every man doing what's right in his own eyes. Thessalonians, in this hour, because they reject the truth, God will give them over to strong delusion that they would believe a lie, and it'll be a generation that calls good evil and evil good. And their evil imaginations, Romans 1 says, cause them to become inventors of more perversions and more evils than men have ever known. And we've just brought innocent little lives into that. Let them find us praying. Amen? Let those little ones among us that are being raised up, let them find us praying and interceding and weeping for brothers and sisters and warring in the heavenlies. Ephesians tells us, if you turn over to Ephesians for just a second, and in chapter 6, one of the scriptures we've already quoted, but in this whole passage in chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, where we're admonished to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't have what it takes. I recognize my weakness right now. Be strong in the Lord. Amen? Let God rise up in you. Admit it, praise God. Come to God and say, I don't have what it takes, but your word says your strength is made perfect in my time of weakness. This is all you got to work with, but it's yours, Lord. Let me remind you, it's not many mighty, it's not many noble. Amen. God chooses the foolish things of this world. What a privilege, what a high calling God has on us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Those wiles, those cunning, deceitful, workings of Satan in our life as he comes and lies against God. Has God said? When the devil comes and says to you, has God said? Stand up and tell him what God said. Amen? Resist the word. The scripture goes on here and says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying, hallelujah. Resist the devil by drawing nigh unto God, and he will flee from you. Yeah, let me tell you what God said. You want to come in with those wiles? You want to come in here making accusations against God? I'll tell you what God said. You have no power over me. That's what God said. Amen. Do not let it be said of you, Jesus I know and Paul I know. Who are you? One of the great leaders of the Assemblies of God, somebody shared this just recently with me. His name was Tom Zimmerman. He was, of all of the leaders we had, I had a great respect for Brother Zimmerman. And he was one of the old timers. Willard paid me that great compliment years ago, and I fear constantly that I was spoken of far above what I might measure up to. And as it had to do with the dispersion of many of these teachings, and he said, Star, you're a dying breed. We look at the great generation. They're almost all gone. Very few still around. This nation has no hope unless those people show up again. And the church has no hope if God's people don't show up. Amen. And as they said concerning this man, and it was finally a time for him to go, the people said, they're going to vote him out. He had been superintendent for a lot of years. He's older than I am, and yet he knew and grew up under the teachings of great men like Frank Boyd and Ralph Riggs. I'm so thankful that I was able to go past the next generation as a young man. And sit at the feet of these men at Bethany Bible College and listen to these men. That in the early 1900s, were used of God in this great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Men who went and served God around the world because God called them and put His hand on them, and they didn't have to go through missionary training and psychological evaluations and have all of the money raised before they would leave. They left in faith, praise God. Some of them left not only not having enough money to get back, they didn't even have enough money to get into the country they were going to. And God would meet them at the ports and supernaturally provide their finances. Oh, for that generation, amen? Oh, for those people. Beloved, it's the same Holy Ghost that lives in us. How many of you are afraid to get on that ship and go, not knowing where you're going as Father Abraham went, not knowing if there's going to be sufficiency to sustain you? Our God meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We are so weak in faith. We are so weak in endurance. God, move in our midst and raise up a people and a standard for when Satan comes in like a flood, the scripture says, God will raise up a banner against them. Hallelujah. Today you have to have degrees and, like I said, psychological evaluations. Then all you needed was the anointing. All you needed was the power. God's eyes are still looking on this earth for a man that He can send. Here am I, Lord, send me. And don't think for a moment that any of us are set free to be secularists. God did not call you to be an electrical engineer, a CEO, an entrepreneur, a plumber. Oh, beloved, let's stay faithful and work with all of our might to represent the vocation wherewith we've been called, and that's Christian, praise God. Amen. Our first duty, our only responsibility, replicate Jesus Christ and make disciples and love one another. And everything else is vanity. Everything else is going to burn. Everything else is waste. The high calling to stand in the gap for these lives and to be ready to put on the whole armor of God, verse 13 says, that we might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, say it with me, to stand, praise God. And having done all, to stand, be not weary in your well-doing. Having done all, stand, praise God. You know what I'm talking about. You've been on your knees in your little 15-minute slot and the devil tried to take your faith. To put doubt in there. God, give us the grace to say nothing about these circumstances but what God says. Amen?
Amen.
This is not a time for your human empathy. It's not a time for, well, if this happens, maybe they can see this doctor, or this happens, then maybe they can, you know, have this device, and maybe there's, you know, something that can be done in an artificial eye, and maybe there's some new apparatus that'll come up that'll help this one stand and be able to walk, and maybe that doesn't have any place in our hearts. By the stripes of Jesus, we're healed, praise God. Oh, we have need of patience. Put on that whole armor. Verse 18, and pray always. Father, we thank you tonight for your word and for your grace. Father, we thank you tonight for your great mercies to us. Father, we cherish your word and we ask, Holy Ghost, that you would cause it to flood out of our innermost being as we stand in the gap, and that nothing but your word would come out of our mouths. We reverence your word. We love your word. Your word is the only truth that we know, Lord. And any and every accusation of the enemy is a lie. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but we hope against hope. Hallelujah. The solution for a sick heart is a declaration of truth. As we call things that are not as though we were, hope is no longer deferred because we have received it, praise God, by faith. And why does a man yet hope for that he already possesses? Make it real, Father. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, turn to somebody next to you and say, don't faint, praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.